suppose what I'm saying is that the Institute, for the first time, managed to assemble a group of experts who looked at nuclear energy as a system, all elements of which should be equally efficient, equally safe and reliable, and depending on the size of one or the other in the system, the quality of the entire nuclear energy system should be more or less optimum. This work had only now begun. I have always thought that this is the correct approach. Figure out, together with the Energy Commission, led by Anatoly Pietrovich, what percentage of the total produced energy should be in the form of nuclear energy. After that, evaluate what type of energy must be replaced with nuclear energy, then assess which regions are the most appropriate for it, and then define the requirements for the devices that will optimally fit the task that stemmed from the fuel and energy balance of the country. Moreover, after selecting the appropriate devices, engineer them to comply with all the international safety standards. These were the questions that I had and was involved in, at least during the statement of the problem and in the development of these works. The process began quite successfully, but with the illness of Alexander Sergeyevich Kochinov, and after the subsequent events, everything changed. Now, once again, only an engineering approach is used when one device is compared to another. Every specialist who invents either an upgrade for an existing system or an entirely new system must prove the benefits of such innovation. There is no standardized system of evaluation. Maybe someone is trying to create it now. In the last few months, I don't know what is going on, because after I formed the group, I was excluded from this work. It is hard for me to say what is going on there. At the end of the day, this group, of course, is made up of intelligent specialists, and maybe everything will fall into place. For example, at a meeting on the 14th of June, Nikolai Ivanovich Ryzhkov said in his speech that this disaster did not seem accidental to him, that nuclear energy, with a degree of inevitability, was heading towards such a tragic event. I was shocked by the accuracy of these words. Although I had not been able to describe this issue in such a way he did. I really do want to understand these numerous cases. For example, at the Kola nuclear power plant, when the main pipeline, the most important pipeline, was welded in such a way that the welders, instead of doing it normally, they have only put an electrode inside and lightly welded it from above. This could have resulted in a terrible disaster, the rupture of a large pipeline of the water energetic reactor device. This is the worst case scenario, leading to a complete loss of coolant and a meltdown of the core. Luckily, as I was later told by the director of the Kola nuclear power plant, Volkov Alexander Pietrovich, the personnel were properly trained and very cautious. The operator had detected the first crack defect in the metal, despite the fact that it could not be seen with the naked eye. It is a noisy place, one can miss some auditory signals. Nevertheless, the operator was so attentive that he spotted the anomaly on the main weld bead. Soon after, an investigation started. It was discovered that this was simply a hack job. The important pipeline had been carelessly quality assured. They checked the documentation. All the signatures were in place. During the check, it turned out that not only had the welder signed that he had done the welding properly, but also the gamma flow detector who had checked this weld bead. But the weld bead didn't even exist. Of course, all of this was done in the name of productivity, to weld more. and this hack job was just mind-boggling for us. All of this was rechecked at other stations. The same spots, the same wheel beads, and not all was perfect. Frequent device stoppages, frequent cracks inside crucial structures, imperfect operation of gate valves, malfunctioning channels inside the RBMK reactors, all this was happening every year. A decade of talking about simulators, which are increasingly effective and are becoming commonplace in the West, and we still don't have them in the Soviet Union. For at least 5 years, there have been long talks about creating diagnostic systems for the most critical equipment, and nothing has been done. I remember that the quality of engineers and other personnel running the stations was falling. But additionally, any person that had been on a nuclear power plant construction site was surprised at the potential of work being done so carelessly, even on such an important project. All these instances were in our heads as individual episodes. But when Ryzhkov said that the nuclear energy was heading towards it, then this picture, created over multiple years, emerged before my eyes. I remembered that experts from my own institute were already used to what has been happening during the construction of the nuclear power plants. I also remembered the ministry with its strange concerns. This wasn't a leader that led us, it was a leader that was just making ends meet, getting money, sending information up to the levels above, sending people to launches or acceptances. As I recall, there is not one person or group who leads focused work on analyzing the situation in the nuclear energy industry, about how to change the usual practices of building stations, of supplying equipment, despite the fact that such individual episodes have been happening. For example, the many years long struggle of Viktor Sidorenko that was supported by academician Alexandrov resulted in a government resolution for the creation of Gosatomu Energonadzor, representatives of which should be present at every station and every enterprise that manufactures critical equipment for nuclear power stations. These representatives should grant permissions or stop the work, depending on its quality. The same Gosatomu Energonadzor should thoroughly review all the regulatory documents and improve them, while also verifying that all the regulatory requirements are met in practice. So this issue was somewhat resolved, but it was resolved in a very odd manner. You know, similar to our current state quality control, a lot of specialists appeared that were not involved in engineering or scientific activities. But as it is evident from the Chernobyl disaster, this organizational superstructure couldn't actually improve the state of the nuclear energy industry because its authority was not defined properly. And the requirements they created were not ideal, not the ones that had to be created to make nuclear energy safer, but rather they were coming from the current situation that we had here and from some Western experiences. This was a sort of combination of the Western experience with our own, with the level of the machine building industry in the Soviet Union, which cannot fulfill certain requirements. All this left an impression of a sort of eclectic image, not coherent, not complex. Many of the regulations, requirements, and rules were complicated and very confusing. In some parts, contradictory. Maybe at a glance, to figure out the contradiction, one had to do additional work. Normally, everything would be stored on a single personal computer, in one or two disks, located next to the operator, so that he could at any moment clarify something. In reality, all this was stored in old and used books. The operator had to go and search for them. This left a rather wretched impression. but it seemed to me that this wretchedness was not recognized by many. I had very few supporters. Once, a magazine called Business Week fell into my hands. This was, I think, in 1985. In it was an article criticizing the French for their active cooperation, or an attempt of cooperation, with the Soviet Union in the field of nuclear technology. It was about a deal where we would increase the supply of natural gas to France, while they would provide us with nuclear technologies, robots for repair works, loading and unloading operations, some diagnostic systems, a range of devices to make the technology of the construction operation of a reactor more modern. But the author of this article, an American, criticized the French, said that they shouldn't be doing this for political reasons, economic reasons. But the article stated very precisely that firstly, the Soviet Union has developed the physical fundamentals of nuclear energy on the same level as the rest of the world, but the technology gap to implementing those physical fundamentals is huge, and the French should not help the Russians in overcoming this gap. And above that article, there was a lousy illustration in which in front of a half-wrecked calling tower, a young mustached Frenchman is trying to explain to a Russian bear how to build those cooling towers, while the bear has put a finger in his mouth and hardly understands that the quality of the cooling tower is as essential to the quality of a nuclear station as the reactor itself. A very mean caricature it was, and I remember running around with this caricature, showing it to Meshkov, Slavsky, Alexandrov, presenting it as a question that was very serious. The question of the gap between the physical concepts of what the reactor should be and the poor quality production of fuel and the whole range of technological operations, many of which seem insignificant and which are practiced at our stations. I was not met with understanding anywhere. Rather, Alexandrov called Kokoshkin, the deputy director of the Institute for USA in Canada. He had a doctorate, a very interesting young man, and asked him to write a counter-article debunking the author that things are nothing like that and that Soviet nuclear energy is at par with the West. However, an American article did say that although the Soviet nuclear industry in terms of input capacity is not at a world-class level, the reactor concepts adopted in the Soviet Union are physically correct and sound, and that the Soviet reactor construction specialists are good. However, the technological support for this complex cycle is outdated. That's why more staff is needed to operate our stations. There are many poor devices, many imprecisions in the operating systems that service the station. So this was indeed true. But nevertheless, Anatoly Petrovich insisted that Kokoshkin must write an article debunking these views. Luckily, Kokoshkin had enough wisdom, or not enough time, to not write that article. For if it had appeared, it would have appeared in the Chernobyl days. I want to emphasize that I was possibly the only one among the people I spoke to who highly felt this concern. Others, who possibly knew the situation at the nuclear power plants much better, were sort of very calm about it. I once heard from Nikolai Nikolaevich, he was a deputy director of nuclear energy, now the first deputy, that he was working on a helium-cooled high-temperature reactor, and we considered that reactor as having the best technological capabilities for our national economy. It had high temperatures, which meant that we could use it in metallurgy, chemistry, and oil refining. That is, we considered it not as a competitor to nuclear energy, but as an addition to it. But then, in a conversation, he said that RBMK reactors are very dangerous. And that is true. So in this sense, not an addition but actually an alternative to today's energy. This was how I first heard from the reactor people who spoke about serious things in a calm, matter-of-fact manner that our modern nuclear energy, based on water energetic reactor and RBMK, is dangerous and requires additional serious measures to be taken. As is my nature, I started to research this question and be more active in certain situations to speak about the necessity of the next generation of reactors to be safer. Say TTER reactors or liquid salt reactors that I was trying to present as the next steps towards safer reactors. But this caused a storm in the ministry, a storm of indignation, especially from Minister Slavsky, who was literally stomping his feet, saying that these are different things, and that I am illiterate, that I don't mind my own business, and that it is wrong to compare one reactor to another of a different type. This was a very difficult environment. Slowly, work progressed on alternative reactors. Also slowly, we upgraded the existing reactors. But sadly, no proper scientific analysis of the actual situation took place to analyze all the possible problems and find ways to avoid them. I tried to set up a safety measures laboratory. It later became part of the Nuclear Energy Safety Department. But since Sidorenko was put in charge of this laboratory, the whole department, everything, was routed towards developing documents, procedures, and standards to make things better on existing nuclear power stations. And things never came to serious theory, to serious analysis, to serious strategies, which all in all was quite alarming. The more nuclear power stations were built, the more real became the danger of something happening at some point in time. People had started sensing that, but the fight against these dangers was being fought on a case-by-case basis. Say a steam generator breaks down at some station, and they start to think about how to change its design, and of course, come up with a solution that improves the situation. Then something else happens. An RBMK channel bursts, so they start researching why this happened. Is zirconium to blame, or the operating state, or something else? And the quality of produced zirconium becomes better as well as the pipes made out of it, or else the operating states become better and everyone calms down until the next thing happens. It seemed to me that this was not the scientific approach to solve the safety-related problems of nuclear energy. But because my professional occupation was in a different area, I was an observer integrating all this information that was entirely impossible to discuss in the ministry because they were used to having very specific engineering discussions, such as how to replace one kind of steel with another, how to modify a technological system. All conceptual talks, all attempts at adopting a scientific, consistent approach towards this problem, they did not accept at all. This is how the situation was developing before the Chernobyl events. Moreover, the number of enterprises who were involved in the production of various equipment for a nuclear power plant had also increased. The construction of Atomash had begun. Many young people arrived. As our press reported, the factory was built very poorly. The quality of specialists that had yet to master their professions left much to be desired. They were helping to organize the headquarters under the Central Committee to help the development of nuclear energy. This was also visible at the stations. I was particularly disappointed after I visited several Western stations, especially after I saw the Loviisa station in Finland, which was built according to our principles. It was basically our station, but was built by Finnish builders. Only they had discarded all our automatic control systems and put in Canadian ones. A number of technological instruments had been replaced with either Swedish or their own, and ours had been taken out of operation. The procedures established at the station were sharply different from ours. Starting from the entrance to the station, its external signage, and personnel training. This station had a proper training simulator where everyone had to undergo regular training and the various situations that could arise at a reactor were simulated. I was struck by the time the station put into carrying out the refueling. Very interestingly, the station staff consisted of 45 people, if I recall correctly, who had to plan the reloading operation. That is, they planned who of the people that didn't work at the station had to participate in the reloading. They selected people, agreed on the time, arranged the needed tools, and decided the sequence of carrying out the procedure. This very thorough preparation for the refueling procedure took around half a year's time. But the refueling itself took only 18 to 19 days, while for us it takes around a month and a half and up to 2 months at times. But the operational staff there is considerably smaller than in our stations. Outer cleanliness of the station, the number of equipment in the station laboratories, all this differed strikingly from our stations in the Soviet Union. I also wanted to talk about the administrative systems. As one remembers how our nuclear energy sector was structured, our Ministry of Energy, with its directors, the Ministry of Medium Machine Building, with its directors, the chief engineer, the science supervisor, any expert from any level, from the laboratory supervisor to the director of the institute, could request information, interfere in the work of a station, write reports, propose something. There were countless industry councils where something was discussed. And all this was not very coherent, not orderly, and did not present to me as a unified, smooth work process. Instead, each time it was a response to some technical proposal, or to some accident, or to some pre-accident situation. This left an impression of disorder and a widespread movement towards disorganized work in the field of nuclear energy. This, by the way, I felt less keenly because my own functions as a member of the Energy Commission were to determine the rate of commissioning nuclear power stations, the chronology of tasks, and the structure of nuclear energy. All this were prospective questions. As for ongoing activities, I was involved with them only indirectly because it was not my specialty and they were never assigned to me. However, the more I learned about what was happening there, the more anxious I became. And when Nikolai Ivanovich Ryzhkov, in a Politburo meeting, spoke his words about how nuclear energy was inevitably moving towards a grave accident, immediately all these facts, accumulated over many years, somehow aligned in my mind, and his words highlighted that it really was so. And in general, all the experts, scientists, at least at different times and from different platforms, talking about individual parts, said that we are on the road to a bad accident. Anatoly Pavlovich Alexandrov said it repeatedly, citing striking examples of carelessness in the construction of nuclear power plants. Sidorenko said it, speaking about disorders in operation and documentation. The young specialists said it, the materials scientists said it. An unexpected problem occurred with, for example, specimens lowered into the Finnish station Loviisa. They showed that the reactor housing may not last for 30-40 years per the project parameters, but may function for substantially lesser time. Immediately, desperate research began that resulted in proposals on how to deal with the situation and prolong the life of the reactor housing. All of this had such an irregular, sudden quality. On the one hand, it could be explained by the young age of this branch of technology, and to some extent it is, but on the other hand, it was a reflection of an overall incorrect manner of working in general. When Nikolai Ivanovich spoke his words, and they, like a light, retrospectively illuminated all the previous events, I realized that these were the right words. But I also realized that this was not specific to the nuclear energy industry, but rather the consequence of the way work was organized in general, to create, very quickly create, a new branch of technology that the national economy needs.